الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد All praises due to Allah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt and mention and grant peace of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment brothers in Islam this particular khutbah dealt with a quality that each one of us must have in his life. And the khutbah began, I have to remember now my own speech, which is not easy. In the beginning, we mentioned that the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning delivering the khutbah, which is something that many Muslims misunderstand. Jabir ibn Abdullah said in a hadith which is authentic, whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deliver Jumu'ah, his eyes will become red, his voice will become loud, and he will become angry, as if he is a general in the army, warning the people that the enemy may come upon you in the morning, or the enemy may come upon you in the evening. This is the guidance in terms of khutbah. There's no soft speech from this minbar. Otherwise people fall asleep, and the message is not delivered. And so I explain that because many people may be traumatized when they see me screaming on the minbar. And they don't know that this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in khutbah in particular. Now other speeches then, this is a whole other discussion. And then we mentioned that each one of us knows that Ramadan is just around the corner. It's just around the corner. We ask Allah to allow us all to make it to Ramadan. And there are a number of questions that one must ask himself before the beginning of Ramadan, which is, first, why do you pray? And why do you fast? And why do you give sadaqah? Why do you go to Hajj? Why do you enjoin what is good? Why do you forbid what is evil? Why do you remember Allah? Why do you recite the Quran? Why? It may be a habit, as is the case with many. It's a habit that we were brought up upon since young age. We find our forefathers doing that, so we do what our forefathers did. And these are the same people that Allah criticized in the Quran for simply following the religion of their forefathers. Whether it is disbelief or Islam. It is not sufficient to follow your father or your grandfather unless you believe what Allah wants you to believe in. And so we're suffering from this disease, which is outwardly we're doing acts of worship, inwardly we're dead. Illa man rahim Allah, except those whom Allah has shown mercy to. We ask Allah to make us among them. And so these were the questions. Are we doing these acts of worship as habits? If so, then we are in trouble and we need to make some changes. We don't want to be among those individuals. Now how do we know, how do we identify whether we belong to the group of people who do the acts of worship while mindful of Allah versus those who do them while heedless and absent-minded and they just do it as habits? The way we can do this is by taking an example dealing with siyam, for example. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, O you who believe, fasting was prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon the nations before you. Perhaps you may attain what? Taqwa. That's what it is. So then the question, okay, taqwa. Not so you can get hungry. No, so not so you can get thirsty. If you marry, avoid your wife. Huh? Not so you can have, you know, food and tamiz at iftar time. And you know, you continue to eat for 3 hours until midnight, until you can't breathe or even understand or even speak. And then you know, you sleep through Fajr all the way till Asr the next day. For some, you know, you wake up for a couple of hours. Wallah, brother, I've been fasting. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. We say, Habibi, you don't know what fasting means. And you have not fulfilled the objective of fasting, which is what? Attaining taqwa. But what is taqwa? It has a number of definitions that the scholars have given. The most eloquent one and adequate one is that of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar, while he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he asked Ubay, he said, Ya Ubay, what is taqwa? So Ubay told him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader or prince of the believers, have you ever walked down a street that was full of thorns. You know, some roses have thorns. Some vegetation, they have thorns that may poke you. He said, have you ever walked down an aisle that was full of thorns? He said, yes. He said, what did you do? He said, I lift up my garment and I strove to avoid the thorns. He told them, that is taqwa. So it's almost like a metaphor where the thorns are sins and disobedience that will catch you and they will harm you and they will destroy you, and you're supposed to avoid them. The same way if you were walking in the street and there were thorns, you would lift up your garment. Now if you had your pants above the ankles, then it would be much easier for you to do that. So maybe we should bring a relation between both. But this was what taqwa meant. And it comes from the word wiqaya. It's like a protection, a veil, a partition that one puts between himself and his Lord. You protect yourself from Allah's punishment by doing the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions, which means obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the problem we have today is that we claim that we obey Allah and His Messenger. We claim, but we really don't. If you look at one of us and you observe him outwardly and inwardly, you will realize that he only has 10 to 15% from atta'ah, from the obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And the rest is gone. And that is not taqwa. That is called mashi hala. You're barely making it. Chances are you will go to Jahannam. Chances are. Unless Allah wills to forgive you, you will not make it to Jannah. Because Jannah was prepared, as we dealt for in the khutbah, with that, for the muttaqeen. Not for anyone, for the muttaqeen. And 15%, 20% is not muttaqeen. Rather, muttaqeen is 100% with shortcomings, with sins, which we will do, with disobedience, which we will do. But when? After we struggle, then we fail because of our weakness. When you want to obey Allah and His Messenger, but the shaitan is whispering to you, you yourself are weak, you fall short, you fail, then you quickly repent to Allah, you're still among the muttaqeen. You are right. But when you don't care, when the sin is absolutely easy for you, you quickly do it with grace. You don't feel any guilt. You don't feel any remorse. There's no prior struggle. Rather, you embark upon it willingly. You know, I'm not going to give you any examples because I know feelings are people are very sensitive. You give a couple of practical examples and some people will never come back here again, unfortunately. But I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, to some extent. We're dealing, ikhwan, with the whole deen of Islam. This is not Hinduism or Buddhism or some other religion where Islam is just some, your religion is some aspect of your life. Islam has to do with everything from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep. The way you dress, the way you look, the way you speak, the way you treat your wives, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your parents, the way you treat your neighbors. Every single thing in life, even the bathroom business, has been taught by Islam. So there's no pick and choose. Wallah, I like this, I do it. I don't like this. Khalli wali. I don't need to do this. This is not taqwa. But each one of us, evaluate yourself. This is what we do. Islam is pick and choose. I like this, I do it. I don't like this, I leave it alone. This is not taqwa. This is not taqwa. So taqwa is ultimate obedience to Allah and His Messenger while sinning because of our shortcomings, not because we don't care. There's a difference between the one who lights a cigarette, okay, and while he's smoking a cigarette, he's upset with himself. He's talking to himself, I need to stop smoking, I need to fear Allah. He's having mujahada to nafs. And then he throws the box, the carton of cigarettes away. But then the next week, he falls weak, he buys it again. You know, struggle. This one is all right. He's not okay that he's smoking, but there's at least a live heart. The problem is when a person is smoking, as if there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. Brother, it's makruh. Mufti kaman. Not only he's sinful, he's also the mufti of the mamlaka. Anytime you ask him about makruh. Brother, explain to me why is it makruh. He doesn't know, not even an ayah or a hadith. But makruh. Because his sheikh, who was a smoker, told him it's makruh. makruh. And so of course it's going to become makruh. These are not the same in the sight of Allah. Both are smoking. One is struggling, the other one does not care. And you could use any other example like the cigarette. When you disobey Allah, you may look at a woman walking down the street. You could do this after struggling, after trying to prevent yourself, and you could do it while enjoying it. They're not the same in the sight of Allah. Both looked at a woman in haram way. But one, due to weakness, which he may repent from afterwards, and Allah will accept his repentance, and the other one does not care. For you to be among the muttaqeen, you need to be in the first category. We cannot afford to be outside that category. Otherwise, you don't know why you were created. You're wasting your time in this life. So what is taqwa? What does taqwa benefit me and you? How do you benefit from taqwa? There are hundreds of ayat in the book of Allah, and they only mention maybe 10 of them. But there are many, many more that deal with the virtue and the benefit of taqwa. The first is honor. If you want Allah to honor you, then we mentioned to our fellow Arabs in particular that honor is not something that you attain because of your grandfather or your passport. Because we know that this is a disease that some of the Muslims suffer from. So we have to make it clear to our brothers that not just because you are from this nationality or because your father is such and such person does not make you honorable in the sight of Allah. Rather, what makes you honorable in the sight of Allah is what? Taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable in the sight of Allah amongst you is the one with the most taqwa. So we treat people according to taqwa, not according to anything else. And people think that because they have a nice car, or a big house, or a lot of money, meaning he should be honored by the people. No. This is not the criteria. The criteria is having taqwa of Allah. If you want Allah to honor you in this dunya, which will necessitate honoring in the life to come, then you must be in this life among the muttaqeen. Don't be a lousy Muslim. Don't be an average Muslim. Salah, siyam, only khalas. Barely doing the act of worship to get them off our shoulders. This is not taqwa, ya akhwan. We need to strive. You need to strive for the sake of Allah. The second benefit that you attain from taqwa is the acceptance of your deeds. Allah says, verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the muttaqeen. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Now Ibn Umar, you know Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنه, used to say, if I know, if I had knowledge and certainty that Allah accepted only one prayer, I would depend on it. Meaning I would depend to attain salvation and enter Jannah because of one salah. Then he said, why? Because Allah said, verily Allah only accepts the deeds of the muttaqeen. Meaning if Allah accepted my deed, I'm among the muttaqeen. So I'm going to go to Jannah. But he couldn't say that. And what about me and you? If Ibn Umar could not say, if he could not affirm that Allah accepted one prayer, then what about me and you? All the salah, the prayers that we'll be doing, all the fasting. No guarantee, akhi. No one receives a receipt from heaven, stamped and notarized. Mabruk, akhi, your deed was accepted. If you know such person, run away from him. He's dealing with magicians. No such thing. Only Allah knows. But we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will not make our deeds go to waste if we strive to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and if we do them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then if you want your deeds to be accepted upon you is the taqwa of Allah. If you want to be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood or guidance and misguidance, then you have no way to be able to do that unless you have taqwa of Allah. Allah says, oh, you will believe, if you have taqwa of Allah, He will give you the criterion. Al-Furqan, Furqana, the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And He will expiate for you your sins, and He will forgive you. And Allah is the possessor of the greatest bounty. If you don't know whether it's halal or haram, if you don't know whether this is the sunnah or bid'ah, if you have taqwa of Allah, Allah shall guide you. Shall give you the knowledge that you will need in order to distinguish between them. Secondly, if you want to have knowledge of deen of Islam, then you also need taqwa. Because Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. And have taqwa of Allah, and Allah will teach you. Not that you go to sleep at night, you wake up the next day hafiz. That's not what is intended by Allah teaching you. What is intended that Allah will facilitate for you understanding the deen of Islam. Because many people memorize evidences, but they don't understand. Or they memorize evidences, they understand, but they don't implement. And this is not fiqh. This is not understanding of the deen. So the whole affair is in what? Implementation of the knowledge that you have. And you cannot do that unless you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want Allah, if you have, your money is short, they decrease your salary, or your sponsor has asked you for extra money to renew your iqama for no apparent reason, except that he's trying to live off you, or something along these crazy lines, and you are in a tight situation, you don't know where to get out, where to go, where to seek help, there's no, absolutely no way out except through the taqwa of Allah. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, everybody knows this ayah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah, he will make a way out for him from every difficulty. And he will sustain him from places he does not expect. يعني money will come to you. Rizq, it doesn't have to be money. It could be facilitation. It could be anything. It will come to you from places which you did not expect. For you to get that, you need to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want your sins to be forgiven, and for Allah to multiply your reward, again you have to have taqwa of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Whosoever has taqwa of Allah, he will expiate from his sins, and he will multiply his reward. If you want to enter Jannah, then there is no way you will enter Jannah unless you are among the muttaqeen. تلك الجنة التي نورث من عبادنا من كان تقيا. That paradise we shall only give amongst our servants those who were among the muttaqin. So then taqwa is essential. You cannot survive as a true believer in the sight of Allah without taqwa. But unfortunately, my brothers in Islam, we are far away from taqwa. Many of us are foreign. We are foreigners to taqwa, except with the things that are easy for us. But anything that requires mujahada, that is difficult, we immediately surrender. And this is not befitting. So when you fast in Ramadan, you're not exercising. It's not a diet for you to lose some weight, some kilos, or you can look better. And it is not because your forefather was fasting, so you're fasting just the same he does, the same way he does. Or because everybody in the community fasts, you fast, they pray Taraweeh, I pray Taraweeh. It's crazy, but it's real. This is how some of us are. We come to the Salah, and we're not really there. Our mind is not there, we're not there. Our feelings are dead. Our rawhaniyat, what they call it, rawhaniyat, the spiritual aspect of our lives is dead. Because we have failed to attain taqwa. Had we had taqwa in our lives, Allah shall guide us. Allah will give us nur, namshi bihi fi nas, as He said. He will give you light by which you walk amongst the people with. You'll be able to guide your way and guide those around you. This was the first part of the khutbah, trying to emphasize that we need taqwa before Ramadan. Don't wait till Ramadan because you may not live. And the second part of the khutbah, we dealt with the ayah where Allah said, and hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord and a Jannah, paradise, as wide as the heavens and the earth. وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Prepared for the believers, for muttaqeen, for the people of taqwa. Now Allah described their qualities. Those who spend during times of ease and times of adversity. وَالْقَاضِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. And those who suppress their anger. When somebody makes you angry and you want to take revenge, you will calm down. وَالْعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who pardon people, ma'lish. He oppressed you, he did wrong to you, ma'lish. I forgive you for the sake of Allah. These are the qualities. Then Allah continued. And those who, if they commit a major sin, the muttaqeen may commit a major sin, or they wrong themselves, they remember Allah, ذَكَرُ اللَّهِ. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. So then they seek forgiveness for the sin immediately. As soon as they sin, they remember Allah, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Why did I sin? Why did I disobey Allah? Then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who forgives the sin but Allah? Mawlana in the dead grave, the Wali Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, This is the one who's going to forgive you sin. This is the one who's going to answer your dua. The grave worshipping that the Muslims are, so-called Muslims are involved in today, they go to a dead man who may have been a fornicator, an adulterer, an alcoholic, you name it. Allah knows what kind of condition he was in. And they call upon the dead man. This is, you know, this will do shafa'ah for me with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk, major shirk, that will kick you outside of Islam. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And verily the masajid, the places of worship, anytime you make sujood, not only the masjid, any place you make sujood, which is the whole earth. وَجُعِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ لِي مَسْجِدًا. Prophet ﷺ said, the whole earth was made as a place of prostration for me. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Don't call upon anyone with Allah. This is all, this all negates taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they commit the major sin or they wrong themselves, they remember Allah. So they seek forgiveness for their sin. And who forgives the sins but Allah? No one. Then Allah ended the ayah by saying, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not insist on disobedience while they know. Once they know it's haram, they can't do it anymore. Once you advise the brother, ya akhi, I've told you 500 times. Ya brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. I've told you 500 times. You need to do this. I'm not going to give examples in order not to hurt anyone's feelings. You need to do this, ya akhi, this is haram. Yes, brother, yes. Inshallah, brother. Next week, the following week, month, yipad ba'din. Allah says that this is not the quality of the muttaqeen. They don't insist on the sin while they know. Once you know once, if you're really a mu'min, you will carry it out. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَن يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Two ayat. It is not for a believing man or a believing woman, after Allah and His Messenger had decided regarding a matter, to have an opinion about it. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has went far astray. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily the only statement of the true believers, when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, that they say, سَمِعْنَا, we hear, وَأَطَعْنَا, and we obey. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It is those who will be successful. Once the reminder comes to you, if you don't believe it, if you don't act upon it, you're not a real believer. You are right, you're not a disbeliever, but you're not a real believer in the ultimate sense. So these were the ayat where Allah had advised us to return to Him. And so the objective was of today's khutbah is that you don't leave this masjid unless you have repented to Allah. Don't wait till Ramadan because you may not live until Ramadan. It's a week. You think it's a short time. Wallah, it may be a long time. Because many people die in this week. Thousands of people die in this week. Every day, every 5 seconds, someone is dying. Children. With more, maybe every 2 seconds, someone dies in the world. Our turn could be next. So don't say, wallah, when Ramadan comes, I will repent to Allah. Today, before you leave. Whatever you have been doing from sin, leave it alone. People will criticize you. They can go and do whatever they like. Allah created you to worship Him, not the people. Some people will criticize you. Some people will say, oh, now you're going to be, now you're a mutawwi', now you're this, now you're going to be a good man, before you used to A, B, C, D. Don't worry about these people. These are shayateen from the human beings. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Shayateen wal-ins. Instead of encouraging you to obey Allah, they come and make it difficult for you. Don't listen to these people, akhi. Allah had ordered you to do something, and you were created for that thing, to do it. So you may enter Jannah, don't let anyone come in between you and the paradise, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers. This was the summary, or this was the khutbah, more or less. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for me and for you, and to make this reminder reach your heart, so you may act upon it, and not just enjoy it. You know, it's nice to say nice, you know, nice this and nice that, but if you don't act upon it, we're wasting each other's time. I'm wasting your time, you could be having your chicken right now, and I'm wasting my time, I could be having my chicken right now. So we're not here to socialize, which is good. We're here to remind each other, and so brothers will actually act upon the reminder. And if you notice, the Prophet ﷺ used to end his, he used to pray in the Salah on the day of Jumu'ah, Surah Al-A'la, Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And when you go back home, read the interpretation of the meaning in the language that you speak. And see the two reminders that are found in this ayah, particularly in Surah Al-A'la. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. He will remember the one who fears Allah. And he will turn away from the reminder, the wretched one. الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. The one who will enter the most biggest major fire. So whenever a reminder is given to you from this minbar, from this table, from any lecture, it is for you to either act upon it or to leave it alone. And our advice to myself and you is to act upon the reminders. If you do so, Allah will guide you, He will give you happiness, satisfaction, and you will live the best life in this world, even if you were poor. Because true happiness lies in obedience to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the khutbah. Now we have an announcement, inshallah. Actually, I want to do mashura with you, a consultation. We understand that Sheikh Yasir, may Allah preserve him, is overseas. And I understand from some of the brothers that you have been accustomed to some classes concerning fasting and praying, taraweeh, and things relating to Ramadan. And so we don't want to leave the place unattended. So some of the brothers were suggesting that we actually have classes in English, even though it may not be your favorite language, but at least it's a common language between us. We have classes in English concerning also matters dealing with Ramadan, fasting, maybe some questions and answers, and who's supposed to fast, who's excused, and things of this nature. During our Tuesday class here, after Isha, most of the brothers had agreed to Mondays after Asr. Because some said during Dhuhr you'll be at work, so Asr is a practical time. You pray Asr here in the Jama'ah, then we have a Dars after Salatul Asr. That's one opinion. And others were saying that it should be after Taraweeh. But I was worried about, you know, the time after Taraweeh. Maybe late, maybe you have things to do, maybe you want to sleep early so you can get up at the last third of the night. I don't know what business you're doing, but I don't want to really play with that time. So what do you brothers prefer? Is Monday after Asr okay for everyone, inshallah? Type. So with that said, we will not begin this coming Monday, because it will not be, today is Friday. Not this coming Monday, the following one. Meaning the first Monday of Ramadan, inshallah, will be the first class. Actually will be the second class. The first class will be this coming Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, we usually have the book, Al-Thalatha Tusul. We're going to put the book aside and we're going to give the first talk concerning...
Alaykum salam.
Okay, somebody's blocking the brother here with his car. And so if you double park somewhere, kindly go move your car and come back. Or maybe by the time you come back we'll be done. But you know, brothers need to be mindful of others. You know, this is not fair that you block someone and which is, you know, not befitting. Try to park somewhere where you're not blocking anyone in the future, inshallah. So we won't hear any criticism, or they will not stop these kind of translations and things of this nature. You know, things may lead to more dangerous matters. Anyway, so the first Tuesday after Isha will be lesson one, right, inshallah ta'ala. Then from there on, after